Here on The Hub and Art, it's time to get a news update from Claire Nichols. Hello, Claire.
Hello, Eddie. Look, the first ever Biennale of Australian Art wrapped up in Ballarat last week. Unfortunately, it wasn't a great financial success, so much so that the artists are still waiting to be paid. Now, there are about 150 artists exhibiting at the Biennale, and on Facebook, the organisers say while the event did get amazing feedback, they now need extra money to tie up payments and bills incurred during the event. The Ballarat Courier reports that the artists have been emailed and told that payments will be delayed. And on Facebook, organisers are actually calling for donations to help cover the shortfall.
Oh gosh, Claire, that's terrible. I mean, we've covered this in the past, how little artists are living on average. So it's a really awful. I do hope that they get paid very soon. Now, in other news, where can we find the oldest cave art in the world?
You'll need to head to the island of Borneo and into a remote cave in the mountains of East Kalimantan. And there, Eddie, you will find this painting of a large red animal, which might be a kind of wild cattle. It's known as a banteng. And now scientists can say that this painting was created more than 40,000 years ago. Now, until recently, the oldest examples of this type of figurative cave art were thought to be in other parts of Indonesia and in France. But researchers can now say that this image in Borneo was painted at least 5,000 years earlier than those other images.
Claire, how do researchers get such precise dating?
It's really complicated, but this work was done by a team of Australian and Indonesian scientists. And to put it as simply as I can, they use techniques to measure the levels of uranium and thorium in the rock. That shows when the layers of calcium carbonate were deposited over and under the paintings, and that gives them the kind of minimum and maximum dates for the art. And the reason this particular date of 40,000 years, or at least 40,000 years, is so important is that it really is changing the way that people think about cave art, because for a long time it was thought that cave art started in Europe. Now those ideas are starting to change, and Southeast Asia hasn't always been considered such an important region for this type of art research. But of course, this new date is really changing all of that.
Well, it's always good to challenge the Eurocentric view of things. Mm. Now, there's, of course, extraordinary rock art here in Australia. And how do the dates of this art in Borneo compare to what we can find here in Australia?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because we still don't have reliable dates for a lot of Australian rock art. That work is still being done. Some works here in Australia are thought to be at least 30,000 years old. And of course, we do know that we have an incredible concentration of rock art in places like the Burrup Peninsula in Western Australia. So I guess what's exciting about all of this is that it's really turning attention to this region of the world away from Europe. And we can do some more research into the rock art in this part of the world.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Now, Claire, you've been to the new extension at the Tate Modern in London, haven't you?
I have. You know, I was in London not long ago, sorry to brag, and I thought I'd check out the extension to the Tate Modern Gallery. It's this enormous new building which opened in 2016. And one of the best things is it's got this viewing platform on the 10th story of the new building, and it offers these amazing 360-degree views of London. But as you go up to the top, Eddie, you see these signs that say, please respect our neighbours' privacy. And that's because one of the things you can see as part of this view is right into the windows of the luxury apartment block, which is just next door to the Tate Modern. As you might guess, the neighbours are sick and tired of having people staring through their windows, taking photos, so much so that they launched a lawsuit last year claiming that the viewing platform was an invasion of privacy and asking for the museum to cordon off the part of the platform that allows visitors to look right through their windows. Now, the residents have had their first day in court. Their lawyer said the scrutiny was relentless. One claimant, in just a 90-minute period, counted 84 people looking through his window and taking photos. Another claimant found a picture of himself on Instagram taken by someone else. So it will be interesting to see how this ends and if that case continues.
Yes, absolutely. Now, finally, Claire, there's a new chief executive for the Powerhouse Museum.
Lisa Havila is going to take the reins there, Eddie. And this is significant because you'll remember that the former director of this museum in Sydney, Dolla Merrilees, resigned earlier this year after that fashion fundraiser, which cost more money than it raised. Mm. Lisa Havila comes to the role from Carriage Works in Sydney. She will be the chief executive rather than the director. The first time this has happened in the history of the Powerhouse, and an important time for the Powerhouse as it starts making its move towards Parramatta.
All right. Claire Nichols, thank you so much. Claire Nichols with our arts news.